Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You've got to give what you take, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year! It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Oh, and you're here. Football Ramble, everybody. Sometimes the clothes do not make the man, and that is the case with Pete Donaldson. He's not here.
No, he's not here again.
He's stuck in Dallas.
Mm.
That's not a lie.
Because he went out to America for brunch.
Sounds like stuck in Dallas does sound like a euphemism, doesn't it?
It sounds like, you know, what was, well, it should be a spin-off of Dallas.
What, Pete Donaldson in Dallas?
Dallas does Donaldson, I think, is probably what's happening.
It has happened, hasn't it? Yeah.
Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, when we sort of, when there's a bit of chat about Pete, even when he's here, we actually tone it down for you.
Yeah.
That is the truth. Apparently there was a lightning storm at the around where he was, so passengers, it wasn't a case of can't get on the plane to fly away. They couldn't get on the bridge to get onto the plane.
Right.
And so
the way he explained it sounds to me like he was very confused.
Yeah.
And the last thing we heard from him was that all the shops in the US were stopping him buying Sudafed because he was ill. Obviously, he's always ill because he doesn't ever eat any vegetables. but that is true, isn't it? I mean, that is true, essentially.
Even I eat vegetables. Yeah.
And so he wasn't able to buy Sudafed because I think in the US they have a problem with it due to people making meth with it, so it's regulated.
Yeah. And I'm sure no other product is available.
But Pete looks exactly like a meth addict.
Yeah.
So it makes sense when you think about it.
Well,
so basically, he's had a terrible time.
Yep.
He's not here, but that doesn't mean we have to have a terrible time here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we've had a great time in the Premier League of late. Two scorpion kicks. Of sublime quality. Normally, you get one every, I don't know, five,
decade.
10 years or something.
Yeah. I don't think until Mkhitaryan scored one. I don't think I'd seen one scored that I can remember.
Yeah, definitely no Newcastle United players have scored on APT.
who scored?
I think Laurent Robert scored something.
Did he? Did Roberto Mancini score one as well?
Well, that rings a bell.
Was it for Leicester? Maybe. when he played for them for a season?
He might have scored a back heel. A corner came in a back heel.
Although what I'm saying is they weren't part of that.
I mean, that we don't know makes your point.
But people weren't talking about them as part of the sort of general football goal-scoring furniture, were they?
Well, the term scorpion kick was coined after René Higuita.
Of course, yeah.
Did he not call it that?
I think he did.
Possibly,
Maybe he called it El Scorpion.
Because the scorpion kick that Higuita did was because very much both feet went up and he looped it around. It looked like a scorpion. Whereas you wouldn't be able to argue that Giroud or Mkhitaryan's goals looked like a scorpion.
Well,
like
not looked scorpion. As much like a scorpion.
No. It's a half scorpion.
Agree.
It's still very impressive.
And two halves make a whole.
There we are. So maybe that's why that happened. Scorpion kick. Yeah, they come in twos just to make sure that...
I'm not taking anything away from either goal, by the way. I'm just not trying to be churlish about it, but it's difficult to know why they were called scorpion kicks. Yeah. But everyone just seemed to go on them... Go with it, do you know what I mean?
Well, it's just the flick of the foot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking like a stinger.
And it doesn't matter which one's better.
No.
They're both...
No, I think they're both so good. It's impossible for one to be better than the other. It's such a difficult skill.
It's such a Twitter generation thing to be worried about, isn't it? People doing like Twitter polls of which one was better, and it's like... Yeah, damn.
Just enjoy them.
Wish I thought of that first.
Which one did you vote for?
I didn't vote for either of them. Let's enjoy both excellent goals.
Indeed. Well, if you could give an animal name to a football act, what would it be?
It's a Pete question. He's not turned up.
It's interesting because it makes you think of little niche things that don't necessarily have a name within football.
Yes.
So, what I've gone for is you know when a player puts a bad tackle on another player, and then you know. No one's punished, but it's all a bit shirty, and you know the player who's been tackled, he's coming back in at some point.
I like that,
There's going to be like some sort of revenge tackle. Yeah, but I don't think this has a name.
No.
And as we all know, crows remember you if you wrong them.
I have heard that,
Russell certainly does.
Well, absolutely. Well, don't you cut his poem at an award speech.
They've been proven to have like problem-solving intelligence, crows, as well.
Of like an eight-year-old, like many footballers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they hold grudges and they remember human faces. So I think that sort of revenge tackle should just be called, like, a murder of crows or something like that.
I like that.
A murder of crows.
Might seem a bit strong. It might need refining.
Surely you would just say, oh, he's crowed in there.
Yeah, he's a crow.
But that might... You could think it's like a crowbar...
But that's nice, though. If people don't know the true source of it, it's nice.
Mm. Maybe it adds to the nonsense.
He's crowed him there.
Yeah,
properly
crowed him.
Luke?
I had a couple.
Ooh.
I had. I remember in the mid-90s, seeing Manchester United on one of these swashbuckling counter-attacks they used to be known for.
Yeah, yeah.
Very much like a great migration across the plains.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, but I went for a long-range goal. You don't see him so much these days, but back in the day, sort of 60s, think of like Bobby Charlton, Eusebio, they used to score goals from absolutely miles out. Like, it would, for some reason, back in the day, it seemed like a lot further out.
Do you not think the old ball just took longer to get there?
It might be. But it was anyway.
More like a comet.
Very impressive.
Ronaldo's one for Manchester United away at FC Porto, I think it was. It was about 40 yards.
In the 60s, yeah?
Yeah, in the 60s. No, I'm just saying a more modern version for those who maybe not have seen older footage.
So basically, that's very kind of you, actually.
That's all right.
Yeah, always thinking of the younger listeners.
Indeed.
Yeah. That could be called a mantis shrimp. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you both why.
Please.
Because the mantis shrimp can dispatch its claw, which it uses as a weapon, at 102,000 metres per second.
What?
It's so fast that if the strike it's intending to use to hit its victim misses, the follow-up shockwave can kill the prey on the spot.
I've heard about this.
Mantis shrimp.
That is seriously impressive.
Yeah.
Probably share a YouTube video of that on the older channels over the next week or so.
I know this is going slightly off piece, but I have a theory that sooner or later it's going to become land or sea. I don't think we can both coexist forever.
What, the world?
Yeah. And when you look at stuff like that down there, we should act.
Yeah.
We should send our best troops into the sea.
We should destroy the sea, Mark.
But if you watch it in action, it can shatter like inch thick glass and stuff.
If this is the same shrimp that I read earlier,
that I regularly chat to,
it basically creates a sonic boom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think the thing I read as well said that the ends of its, I don't know, shrimp arms, whatever it's called, become like as hot as the surface of the sun.
For a very brief flash of light and heat for a very small amount of time. But yeah, It's essentially, yeah, essentially Sonic booms things to death.
Over right. to you, Donald.
I'm with Jim on this. I think we should brick up the sea as quickly as possible. I had a couple of answers. I thought, you know that thing that players, like Cristiano Ronaldo does it very well, where he's running in one direction with his, say he's controlling the ball more with his right, and then he kind of does a Cruyff turn.
To change direction.
But to change direction suddenly. Yeah. I thought, that may well have a name. If it does, forgive me, I'm an old man.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, or even if it does have a name, let's rebrand it, or brand it. I'd like to call that a gazelle.
Okay, yeah.
Because gazelles, nice. When they run from their prey, they kind of, they jump around, don't
change
they?
Direction.
Now, I'm not talking about stotting.
No.
Is it stotting? Where they just,
doesn't matter, you're not talking about it.
Yeah, I think that would...
Adidas have got a trainer called the Gazelle, so they'll be looking to patent it, I expect.
I'm always on...
Adidas time, yeah. You should never assign that image rights to them, mate, I tell you.
Even when I don't
Back
mean
to. Back in 2009.
I'll call it a Puma. Yeah, so he gazelled past him, which is quite a graceful thing. The other thing I thought of was when somebody does a standing header, like Robert Huth away, Leicester away to Spurs last season, when they stand there. Flamingos are known for standing. I know it's often on one leg, but are calling that type of header a flamingo.
Well, that's poor.
Yeah.
That's poor.
What, he flamingoed in at the back post? Yeah.
If he does it standing on one leg, then absolutely.
You're right not to go for that one.
Yeah, so I'll stick with gazelle.
Yeah, good man.
I think Luke's got the points.
Well, I'm dedicating the points to the mantis shrimp. Surely and truly one
the greatest
of
threat to our existence. The world has ever known.
One of the more impressive and terrifying parts
Think
of the animal
about it,
kingdom.
If that and octopuses can suddenly come on land, it's over.
Yeah.
Would you call it a weapon of mass destruction? Because if you do, there's people in Parliament
in the wrong hands.
It's actually it's a weapon of actually very, very limited destruction. But if you're in that particular sort of vicinity, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, I bet there's loads of them, though.
Yeah, they could gang up.
Exactly, Okay, then. Well, let's move on to the Premier League. Manchester United beat West Ham 2-0 away. Mike Dean, he was at the heart of it.
Yeah. Forget the game, let's get to this.
Back amongst it.
It was... he's had a lot of press coverage. I mean, I think Gary Lineker said he
which is just the way he likes it.
Exactly, yeah. He said he was feeling a bit left out or he wanted attention. Well, my goodness, he got it.
I mean, actually, sorry to cut in, Marcus, but all of this behaviour started before the game had even kicked off. Did you see him run out and just waft away all the bubbles
with that
furious look he's got? No, this is a silly use of water.
Yeah.
Don't have time for this. I'm a very serious
man.
When
I first saw him do that, I'm always sort of... I genuinely want to give the benefit of doubt to the referees. It's a hard job, and I've said to you guys before, I've bored you all to death about how when I was researching the referees chapter in the book we wrote, you end up feeling quite, not sorry for them, but actually in awe of how difficult it is to do what they do. And so I'm always coming from the point of view of wanting to be on the side of the referee whenever I can. And the Mike Dean thing, when it happened at the beginning of the game, when he was wafting those bubbles out of the way, I thought, well, he's probably quite focused. He wants to get it's a difficult job. He wants to get it right. It's probably the last thing he needs, so fair enough. And then, what was it, about 15 minutes in, he sent off for Gooley for that. And I was thinking, the guy doesn't make it easy. It doesn't make it easy for you to defend him, you know.
The thing is with that for Gooley challenge is it was a big clash and a coming together.
And he did have 2 feet off the ground, and Dean, from his position, may have seen that. It wasn't a sending off, I don't think. But
yeah, I don't... That's the difficulty. Like, in one sense, it's not a howler. Because, as you say, you know, he was off the ground. It was a big coming together, and the way Phil Jones reacted. And Phil Jones is within his rights to it.
I think Phil Jones would have been at least a little bit hurt by that.
Yeah,
I mean, a man clattered into him.
It's the second leg that hits Jones' standing leg, which hurt him, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with you guys that both feet are off the ground, though. I don't think they were.
Well, there's a fair point. So, like I said, I don't think it's a howler in one sense, because with some of the gubbins you put in there, you think, it did look a tasty one. But on the other hand, when you watch it back, you do think, that's probably not a red card.
To clarify, Luke, the point where his feet are off the ground are before he goes into Jones, which is possibly where the confusion's come.
For me, it was like a dictionary definition yellow card. It's like, you overrun the ball. Well, you see forwards that all the time. They overrun the ball. They have to, they feel like they have to lunge to use their momentum to try and win it back, and they're late. And that's, for me, a standard yellow card. He shouldn't be... The thing about Dean is, I don't think he should be so quick to brandish cards.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I'm not sure how often he does it now, but I can remember, was it Chelsea against Manchester United? And I remember seeing him send off Ivanovic, I think, It was definitely a yellow. Mm. It might have been a second yellow. He was over there so quick. And even if it's not the case, even if he is like the world's best referee and he processes information much quicker than everyone else, he needs to understand how it looks. And it looks like he's just being dismissive. Like he's just waiting to try and sell us one.
Yeah, again, to cut in, Marcus, but the looks he has on his face, be that towards a footballer or some bubbles, for example, it's like he treats the entire affair with disdain. Well, and it must be so frustrating for the players.
Pedro Obiang, according to the papers, there was lip readers that claimed that Mike Dean told him, you know, don't look at me again, otherwise you won't be playing.
The problem with this, I haven't seen that particular instance, but the problem with this is the lip reading thing is for me, going a little bit far now.
Oh, I think that
Because it happened about a week ago, maybe a touch longer than that, where someone had apparently lip readed Mike Dean on Twitter, a video of him booking someone. And the lip reader who tweeted it said, oh, look at him there, he's saying, stop talking. Don't talk to me or something like that. But when you actually watch it, what he's clearly saying is, no, he's got a booking.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. It's obvious he's saying that. Once you know that. So people need to be a bit careful with judging them so quickly.
Also, taking stuff out of context, you don't know what that player, because referees take so much abuse. And actually, that old rule that we all used to, referees used to say to us when we were school kids, I won't tolerate swearing, anybody swearing at me, blah, blah, blah. How many times?
Yeah, but Howard Webb said something quite interesting on that when I spoke to him. He said, you need to remember the depth of field. When you watch it on TV, the depth of field, depending on the camera, can look a lot closer than what it is. And if Wayne Rooney, for it was a particularly egregious example of it, if he's swearing and saying this, that and the other, the camera on TV can make it look like he's a lot closer than he actually is. Sometimes he can be 15, 20, 20 yards away. And when there's 70,000 people in the stadium, the referee isn't going to hear that. I'm not saying it's always the case. I'm not saying I don't get away with blue murder, because a lot of the players do, but it's not always as bad as it looks.
Swearing is known to sort of relieve stress as well, isn't it? If you're basically just swearing to yourself out of frustration when you're not surrounded by anyone and it looks like you're swearing in a man's face on the TV, it's really not as bad as
it's
made out, is it?
But that's what I was always led to believe that when we played, if you swear just generally, you wouldn't necessarily get punished heavily for it. But if you swear directly at an official and point and you're clearly addressing the official, that's when you get punished. There's a bit of a grey area there as well.
Did you like Mike Dean shaking hands with Moussa Dembélé as he left the pitch?
I didn't really have a problem with that.
I didn't, because Dembélé went up to him and shook his hand. What's
he going to do, pull it away?
You've seen players do that all the time when they're trying to waste time to get subbed off. They shake hands with everyone, trying to take as much time up as possible.
Yeah. I've noticed the strange thing about referees, aside from Mike Dean, over the past week or so, this has seemed really prevalent to me for some reason. Mike Dean is simply Mike Dean. You know, Mark Clattenburg is simply Mark Clattenburg.
Yeah.
Lee Mason is referee Lee Mason.
Yeah, is that right?
It's really weird.
It happens with players' names. Dele Alli is always Dele Alli. Rob Lee
is his name.
But Rob Lee's always Rob Lee. They never say the second name.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
True. It's a strange one, that.
But it's the same. It's the same,
but then
same
you probably principle. But then you probably have mates, don't you, that you always refer to them as their full name?
Yeah, I guess so.
Pete Donaldson.
No, Donnie. Well, he refers to himself as Donnie.
Does he?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think he does. He does on the old WhatsApp. Mm. Oh, Donnie. It's all come up for Donnie again with a little sunglasses emoji. I'm letting people behind the curtain.
I don't remember him ever being that happy.
All I'm saying is, Jim, he's not here. He's let us down.
Yeah.
Let's let him down.
Dallas Airport has let us down.
Manchester United did win the game, though. They've won their last six.
Yeah. Amongst the Mike Dean show, there was a match.
They've actually won the last seven, if you include the Europa League.
Six league games, I should say. Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, this is their longest unbeaten run since the Alex Ferguson era.
Wow.
Is that right? So that's huge progress. I mean, Mourinho's doing such a good job turning it around. And the substitutions he made with Mata and Rashford coming on absolutely changed the game. And I know, obviously, they had a man advantage, but that's the Mourinho of old, isn't it? Looking at a problem, there's a struggle, he does something that directly affects the game, and then you go, there's your point.
You're absolutely right, Jim. And he put Carrick back into defence. When he brought on, I think it was Mata, took Darmian off at half-time. And as you say, that was, he thought, right, West Ham, they're down to 10, let's go at them. Because putting Carrick, a midfielder, you know, he's always going to, you know, you're effectively putting another man in that attack line or into the midfield. And it worked. And then what happens when they went 1-0 up? He brought on Smalling and switched it back round. Because West Ham actually was quite a spirited display from them.
Yeah, I didn't actually think United looked brilliant, given they had an extra man for most of the game.
But the changes were pragmatic.
They were, but West Ham had chances.
They did. Antonio should have
scored. Lanzini and Antonio both had chances.
Which is probably why when Manchester United did go one up, and it was the substitutions that did it, he then put on the extra defender.
Yeah.
So it was a canny thing.
But you've also got
to
factor in that they were 1-0 up, and they played against 10 men for a very long portion of the game.
Mm.
The second goal they scored was a completely ridiculous decision. There's no way it should have been a goal. Zlatan couldn't believe his luck that he had scored it and it had been able to stand.
You can actually see from how nonchalant the finish was. He was just like, I'll whack it and see what happens. Isn't it experienced enough player to just do that?
And from Zlatan's point of view personally, I guess, it means it's evened up because the goal that was disallowed in the game before was obviously a poor decision as well. But I didn't think that that they looked all that good, United. The sending off, just to go back to that really quickly, thinking about it now, I think Dean did take a bit of time to send him off and still came to the wrong conclusion. But generally, I think he does do things very quickly. The reality is, I mean, they're winning games over and over again, and they're pushing into this. It's such a competitive top part of the Premier League table at the moment. It's really fascinating.
And West Ham have been on a much better run of form recently. Here's a stat for you. The two players, according to the Premier League's official website, who have committed the most fouls in the league this season so far, Paul Pogba and Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Zlatan has.
That's very telling, isn't it? Especially for Ibrahimovic, defending from the front, pulling, you know, making little fouls, everyone gets back into place. That will be, well, his experience combined with Mourinho's experience.
Absolutely. Well, they're forming a really, really good partnership, aren't they? And there was a stat on the last show about them having been the players that have combined the most
Pogba and
three
Ibrahimovic
passes and whatnot.
It's, it's also further evidence of how often Zlatan is affecting games so late on for such by a football player's standards. Such an old player. I mean, he scored that goal against West Ham. All right, it shouldn't have stood, but he still scored it with like 12 minutes to go. Yeah. He set up Pogba. Was it Pogba's goal?
It's Mkhitaryan's goal. He set up
Mkhitaryan's goal late. And the other thing was when Pogba scored the goal against Middlesbrough, to go 2-1 up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the ball came over from the right hand side. I think Pogba headed it. A lot of
2-0 up, was it, in Middlesbrough?
Against Middlesbrough, no, because they were 1-0 down. But I was just going to say, the ball came in from the right and Pogba headed it. And at first glance, Zlatan doesn't really have anything to do with that goal. But if you look at the replay, the amount of defenders who are worried about where Zlatan is and what he's doing, and he's at the far post, and he's being marked by, I think, Fabio at right back, and another couple of players are looking over at him just before the ball comes in, because he has such an effect, he has such a presence on the game. He's so important to United, he really is. He's probably one of the most influential players in the Premier League, if not the most.
Absolutely.
Well, that was Defoe for Sunderland.
Indeed, yeah. Well, we're going to talk more Premier League and Jermaine Defoe after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Spurs, back-to-back 4-1 wins. Hammered Watford. Nice to see Harry the Hornet get a standing ovation by the home crowd pre-match.
That's the real story. No, Spurs were absolutely fantastic. A friend of mine was at the Southampton
should
game.
Should have won about 7-1.
They should have. A friend of mine was at the Southampton game and said the Spurs were just irresistible then as well.
I think what we're seeing now is the benefit of them having their, you know, their best players available. Because as we said, as we trumpeted quite a lot, they were missing Kane and Dembele for a lot. And they're two huge players for them.
Well, Kane and Ali were on great form.
Well, they even for the Watford game, they rotated in Trippier and Son. And Trippier was absolutely superb.
They've got a bit more of a squad now.
Trippier's delivery from out wide, over and over again, it was absolutely tormenting Watford from start to finish.
And Kane loves a bit. What Harry Kane's such a great forward. He's perhaps it's a bit too early to say, but he's almost that complete forward, the sort of modern forward. You know, that he can create goals himself. You know, we've seen him score spectacular goals. He's get on the end of good move team goals, and also loves getting on the end of a cross as well.
The other thing about him is that you watch him play, and he is so inventive.
Yeah.
With the positions he takes up and the way he. The way he 1 minute he'll pull off wide and he'll attack from out wide. Mm-hmm. And there was a particular movement against Watford. It might have ended up in a goal when someone clipped the ball over the top and he was inside the right channel. Mm-hmm. Before that, he was right through the middle. Mm. He plays all over the place all the time. And he is his intent from start to finish, 90 minutes of the game, is always there. I thought Spurs just overall, their movement, application.
Yeah.
And a great example of that would be, were they 3-0 up at half-time? And then you could imagine what was being talked about at half-time. Pochettino would have been saying, look, don't take your foot off the gas. Half-time has essentially interrupted our momentum.
Yeah.
We don't want to let that get the better of us. We don't want Watford back in this game. And they just scored straight away after half-time. They stay straight out again, scored straight away.
Well, Kane as well is a player that you wouldn't necessarily class him as like a pace merchant or anything, but he's very quick over a short distance.
He glides past,
which is a huge
player.
Thing for a striker.
Yeah, Dembele's like that. They both don't seem fast, but they glide past.
He's quite strong, Kane, as well.
Very strong, very strong.
He's a brilliant forward, and I know once or twice in his career, or probably more once or twice, he's played, I think, behind a front man. But Kane is that kind of, like I say, modern-day centre forward, he's not just there to score goals. There's so much more to his game. I mean, you mentioned Jermaine Defoe a minute ago, and Defoe is that kind of old-fashioned number nine and very effective.
And you don't get many of those anymore.
No, you don't. No. And obviously, that they're still valid. I mean, someone who scores goals is always going to be valid, for crying out loud. But if you want to play at the top and start for a big club, an ambitious club like Spurs, and your country,
you have to be right.
And Kane is that. You know, he's absolutely phenomenal. Contrast that with Watford's forwards. I mean, Deeney and Igalo are just not clicking. I mean, Igalo, one league goal.
Get off to China.
Yeah. Have you seen how much they're paying now? It's like the London house market. You know, you think, well, should we sell now? You leave it a year. Oh, blimey, I'm glad we waited.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Deeney because he always applies himself. He clearly cares about Watford a great deal.
And Deeney's a good... I mean, he's got his 100th goal.
He works hard. He works really hard. But Watford are a little bit of trouble at the moment. There's talk of them in the news today. Talk about Mazzarri potentially being given the bullet.
Well, it's 4 points from 21.
Mm. They've had quite a tough run, though.
They have, and also, they've had a lot of injuries. And they had the best fitness record in the league last season. They had a guy called Richard Collins, I believe it's pronounced. He was their head of medical, and he left in September. And now, you know, they're having huge, huge problems with it. So that's a damning situation.
They probably should have won against Palace. Yeah. They got pegged back against Palace. There's a terrible result away to Sunderland. They shouldn't have lost that game because Sunderland are always there for the taking. But I saw them play against Everton and they were pretty good in large patches. I mean, they only scraped through. But it's not looking great for them at the moment.
They've got Stoke away next. And obviously last time didn't shake old Mark Hughes' hand, did he?
Sorry, Dan Wells. That's the last thing you need.
I think it would be a bit hasty for Mazzarri to go just at the moment.
Thing is, though, but that has been Watford's sort of MO.
Oh yeah, he should have gone months ago, shouldn't he? Yeah.
Speaking of Stoke, obviously they had a bit of joy against Chelsea and then they eventually lost the game. That'll be sort of quite good comfort for Spurs because you know, a better team. Obviously, it's very difficult to criticise Chelsea because of the run they're on, but they look quite flat-footed against Stoke with a couple of the goals. With certainly the first goal.
Yeah.
And Spurs might get a bit of joy against them. They really might.
And Spurs might get a bit of support from Arsenal because Chelsea are running away with it. Spurs stand in the way of that Arsenal record, of course, of 14 straight wins over two seasons. Mm. Jim, you're all out for Spurs this week.
No, mate.
You fool.
Did you see the Chelsea-Stoke game, though?
I did. It was a very entertaining one. Yeah. But yeah, Stoke gave them all. It's so lovely seeing Peter Crouch on the score sheet.
Yeah.
In a match where he's not, you know, got the fourth and a 4-0 win or something like that. It was a nice crouchy goal.
35 years old. You wonder, like, could he get a move somewhere for the rest
of
the
United
season?
Yeah, United, like Zlatan.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, could he get a call-up? For England or something? I thought, no.
Crouching Defoe up front for Sunderland.
Well, on form, Jim.
Well, absolutely.
You're as good as...
What was interesting in that game was how Chelsea were sort of oddly sloppy, given the form they've been in recently, but it showed a resilience that we saw at the beginning of the season where they were getting those wins late on and they were grinding out when Conte was still working out the team. We've not needed to see it from them for a bit because they've been so good, but they've still got it in them. And they're really versatile from what we've seen so far as well. It's not just that they're flat-track bullies or whatnot. They've got a lot to their game, and that's why they're on this run.
It's the first time they've conceded more than one goal in a Premier League game for absolutely ages. Months, yes. Absolutely months.
Diego Costa with another great finish after outpowering the defender. Yeah. I mean, he's just such a brute. When he's on that form...
He's relentless.
It is quite something. But you're right, Stoke did give him the war. And of course, this game this week, you know, time of recording, Chelsea versus Spurs hasn't been played, but that's a huge one. Mm. And Pochettino said that we've got the support of everyone in the league, or mentioned something like that. And he is sort of right, really, in one sense. I mean, some people, neutrals, granted, and they're within their rights to want Chelsea to equal Arsenal's record, and maybe even better, but most people probably will be...
We want to see a competitive league.
Yeah, no one wants to see anyone go a billion points clear.
Unless it's Arsenal, right?
I'd be all right with that, but I can imagine why neutrals wouldn't be. Yeah.
Realistically, no one wants to see what about West Brom? Mm. They're having a great season. They're in eighth place. Pulis is doing wonders there. They beat Hull 3-1. Hull not having a great time. Poor old Phelan. More than a Phelan. He's gutted after the game.
It's more evidence to what we were talking about, which is that Hull could compete... but not for long enough period.
Well, 1-0 up at half-time and just collapsed in the second half, and Phelan has seen his side get themselves in good positions and then just sort of collapsed. I mean, West Brom scored two from set pieces and have a very decent aerial threat. But Hull surely know that. Mm, yeah. You know, West Brom have scored 28 goals a season. Only the top six, and quite oddly, Crystal Palace have only scored more. Quite strange, that anomaly with Palace.
With the exception, I mean, Hull haven't won in nine games, with the exception of the Spurs game, They're beating 3-0. I think they lost to Sunderland. They have a terrible result against Sunderland ages ago, which is the start of their bad run. Exception of those two games, you can make a decent argument to say they've competed in all of those games.
Yeah.
They got beaten by City 3-0, but it took ages for City to score. Hull were competing. Like against West Brom, they went a goal up away from home.
Yeah.
But they just could not sustain it for a long enough period.
I wonder if part of the problem is that Diomerci Mbakani just is not good enough to be that man.
He's not, no.
He's not scored all season. He's very much like, I suppose, a defensive striker, as we've spoken about before. His hold-up play is pretty good, but he makes them look very, very blunt. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised they signed him at all, because he looked like that for Norwich. He just looked like he's not up to this sort of standard.
Yeah.
Well, talk of a move for Samuel Eto'o.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be quite something.
Yeah.
Snodgrass is the only one who's really got a proper goal threat in him.
Bob Snods.
Yeah.
Lovely time.
Well, it was just as well that they tied him into whatever contracts are worth these days, but he's extended his contract to Hull because there was a move that he wanted to...
Yeah, but as soon as Hull are relegated, he'll go. As simple as that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there was talk he might go in the January transfer window, which would have been a disaster for Hull, you would say, on current form.
Yeah. But for Snodgrass on a personal level, he can't really lose, because if they stay up, then great, and he's had an outstanding season. He's been their best player by miles. Mm-hmm. Not by miles, but he's been one of their best players.
Yeah.
If they get relegated, he'll be off to probably West Brom or something like that.
I mentioned West Brom scoring from set pieces. West Brom have scored more goals from set pieces, not including penalties, than any other team in the league this season.
That's Pulis' strength, though, isn't it? It's not a huge surprise.
Well, especially with the likes of McCauley as well.
Yeah,
who's great in the air.
He's not even picking old Saido in his squad these days.
And how Robson Kanu's forced his way in there with another screamer.
Good to see.
That old classic football cliche from back in the day. Not a great scorer of goals, but a scorer of great goals.
Yeah, that's right. Obafemi Martins, ladies and gentlemen.
The reason Pulis isn't picking Saido, because if Saido Berahino is further away geographically, Pulis can shout louder when he comes to address him.
He loves it, doesn't he?
He does.
But that West Brom side, they are decent. You know, they've got a good goalkeeper in Foster. You've got the Northern Irish duo at the back with Brunt helping. It's a nice Northern Irish feel going at the back. They've also got two canny operators in front of that defence, Fletcher and Jakob, the Argentinian, who's one of the league's top tackling midfielders.
That makes sense. Is he also one of the top fouling midfielders?
He's not a dirty boy.
We mentioned a little bit of Argentinian footballing culture on a previous podcast, very briefly. And Jakob is one of those great Argentinian defensive midfielders, isn't he? Very canny, you know, knows what he's doing, but yet loves good in the tackle, but will give a clever foul away here and there. And Fletcher knows.
I'd be very surprised if Fletcher's missed a single, more than a handful of games since he signed for West Brom from United. I don't think he can't have missed hardly any at all.
Yeah.
So he's very reliable.
But you look at that side, they've got a decent spine, and then up front, Rondon's, you know, pretty handy. Chadley as well was a good signing.
Matt Phillips is in very good form.
Exactly. Morrison in there as well, McLean off the bench. You know, West Brom have got a decent side. They've got a good manager as well with Pulis. They should be on, I mean, of course, they're in eighth place. They should be looking at top half finish, which would be a fantastic achievement.
Agree.
Get them in the Europa. So you're pushing for top four, for crying out loud.
No way.
Well, we have Robson Kearney. You never know. You do. Sunderland drew to all with Liverpool. 2 points dropped for Liverpool.
Yeah,
it's a real minefield this sort of period of football this season for these clubs, because you just got to get through it.
Yeah.
You've got to get through these games as best you can. Because if you look at, I mean, I know you won't find me saying this very often, but like poor old Southampton, the amount of games they've had, it's absolutely unbelievable. The reason I say this, by the way, is because I thought Liverpool looked a bit leggy in this game.
It did,
and I don't want to take anything away from Sunderland, because it's a fantastic result for them, but. And I thought United looked a bit tired, actually. I forgot to mention against West Ham, they looked a bit tired as well. If you look at Southampton's fixtures, they had a game on the 28th, the 31st and the 1st. The 2nd. Mm-hmm. They had 10 days from the 18th to the 28th of December without a game.
Yeah.
And then after that, they played on Monday night. They don't play again until the 7th. Mm. Why not just space them out?
Well, I mean, Sam Allardyce said the Premier League fixture organiser should be sacked.
Well, it's hard to find a reason for it, other than the fact that they're such in... They're so in hock to the TV companies now and the money that they're paying them that they have to do this.
Well, why doesn't Allardyce, you know, do the old sting on him?
What, on the Premier League fixtures? That won't look suspicious,
set
will
up
it?
His own sting.
He'd turn it up, yeah. Imagine that. I got your back. Yeah.
No hard feelings after what I just said about you getting sacked.
But Southampton
come to wings.
Southampton lost all three of those games, and they conceded 9 goals.
Why are you smiling?
I'm just saying. Worth a mention.
I wonder if, like, because we were talking in the last show, I believe, about how well the top sides are doing, and I wonder if actually, when it comes to this period, the teams in Europe have a sort of short-term advantage where they're actually used to playing more games than the other teams. Mm. So they're a bit more mentally and physically conditioned to it. And obviously that catches up to you a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But they're just ready for it in a way the other teams aren't.
Yeah, true.
I mean,
although obviously Southampton aren't.
But talking about the tiredness, though, Klopp said that he gave his players the option of a rest for this one, but none of them took him up on it. And then he was surprised.
Don't want to
about,
be the only one, do you?
Well, right. And what did Roger say about the character of the group or something? You know that.
But he only made one change for that game.
Well, and that was only because of Henderson's injury. You know, and Sturridge came in. Obviously, Lallana then dropped back into midfield. And it's interesting because Klopp was surprised at the performance of his players. He mentioned the fixture pile-up. He's got players on the bench to bring on. You wonder why he didn't make more changes. I mean, if he says, is anyone tired who fancies a little rest? I know we joke about, you know, certain individual footballers who are a bit lazy and whatnot, but generally footballers want to play every game. And they're not going to go, yeah, go on then, I'm a bit knackered, especially in a side that are pushing for a title for a title challenge. And have great cohesion and are doing very well off the back of a good win against Manchester City. So you wonder if Klopp should have just made some changes there instead of asking his players. I understand that it is a way of picking a team, but also as well against Man City, you know, they went ahead, a great header from Wijnaldum, and then they shut the game down impressively. And I just wonder, a bit like Mourinho away to West Ham, if Liverpool they went 2-1 up against Sunderland, and obviously Defoe got a penalty. Should have shut the game down a bit more, just to snuff it out.
It's two daft penalties, though. You know, I mean, the Mane's one. I know he likes being on the ball, but...
Absolutely. You know, yeah, that was scandalous. It's a good job he's off to the African Cup of Nations, because I imagine he'd be getting punished. Yeah. He probably hasn't been back to Liverpool since then. Straight on the plane.
Yeah. Southampton's got an airport.
Yeah.
Make the use of it.
To be fair, he did get a goal as well, though. He also counts that his own good work.
Yeah, he's been a fantastic signing for them. Mm. A few people sort of balked at the fee. But he's had a great impact.
He's slotted in there quite straight away, hasn't he?
Well, it was an enormous fee, but that's just the way it is at the moment in the Premier League. But you love that Wijnaldum header against Man City.
It reminded me of like what I consider to be in the age that I am, like the golden period of headed goals bullet scores. Yeah, like Christian Vieri, Oliver Bierhoff, Sir Les.
Alan Shearer.
The way he timed his run, you could tell from about three steps out from him actually before he actually connected with the ball. That's going in the back of the net.
Yeah.
It's an absolute beauty. It got me out of my seat.
It was. It was a bit like Cristiano Ronaldo, away to Roma.
Stop referencing Cristiano Ronaldo.
For Manchester United.
Yeah, no wonder.
Clive.
Yeah, he gets so much attention. Spells he loves old Cronaldo.
And why not? He's one of the finest players.
Stop it.
All right. Name on the running order. Now, Sunderland, they lost their previous match away to Burnley. Mm.
But spanked by Burnley.
They were spanked
by
Burnley.
They really were.
Defoe, only Costa, Ibrahimovic and Alexis Sanchez have scored more in the league this season so far than him.
Mm. It's impressive stuff, isn't it? It just doesn't seem to have slowed down at all.
No, and he went off to, was it Toronto? He went off to MLS.
He's essentially come out of retirement, like in Paul Scholes fashion.
Yeah. Remarkable. We are going to finish off our Premier League chat after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Come back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget, the preview show is out at the end of this week. Our bet of the week didn't come in last time, did it? Because Liverpool beat Manchester City 1-0.
Yeah, in like a, as we just referenced, in like a sort of uncharacteristically sort of responsible performance from Liverpool. They scored quite early. They controlled huge parts of the game. Didn't really look like making any sort of defensive blunders.
And City were sort of very passive with that and just seemed to allow it.
I thought there'd be guaranteed defensive blunders.
Yeah,
but there weren't any.
Well, Liverpool saved them for Sunderland.
Yeah, exactly.
Indeed, yeah. Man City beat Burnley. Pep Guardiola gave an awkward and slightly prickly post-match interview.
Slightly?
Well, I think a lot more has been made about this, because if you look back at
it was like a cactus full of needles.
No, well, it was, Jim, but what I mean is he's got previous for this.
Yeah.
He massively does. At Barcelona, he did it. At Bayern, I mean, even the people at Bayern were sad to see him go, because obviously one of the best managers, if not the best manager in the world, you could argue. But they did say he was a bit strange and very impersonal, and people just found it hard to talk to him at times. He couldn't handle Ibrahimovic, which I don't know if that's to his detriment or or not, but famously at Barcelona. Even Messi fell out with him at Barcelona, which was not that widely reported. As I say, he's had form for this, so we shouldn't be too surprised.
But the fascinating thing for me is when you compare it to the Mourinho thing, you can't move in the press for people saying Mourinho essentially says stuff like, or stuff comes out of Man United which says Mourinho needs another two transfer windows, and you can't really judge until the end of next season.
Yeah. Yes.
But then, and that's purely, in my opinion, that's purely because Mourinho has already endeared himself to the British press.
Yes.
So they give him the credit, they let him do what he wants to do. And in a way, he sort of, I guess as well, sort of proved himself on these shores. Guardiola, I've seen more than two or three football writers and journalists talking about Guardiola's tenure at Man City already being a failure.
Yeah.
Already. He's been there 6 months. So while I agree he's not doing himself any favours with interviews like that, you're right, he's got a track record of doing it. He does need to be a little bit more canny, I think. He needs to be a little bit more sort of smiley, you know, and he doesn't tend to want to do that.
And the trouble with the press is, as you say, unless you tickle them under the arm, they can get a little bit annoyed with you, and which is why it's so good that Ibrahimovic is making them eat their balls, as he puts it.
But I also
because you can't argue with how he's played.
Well, that's the best way of answering your questions. Yeah. But the thing with Guardiola is where he doesn't do himself any favours with a thing like this Bravo thing. Now, there's talk that he had reasons outside of footballing ones to move on Joe Hart. And, you know, fine. I understand he wants to stamp his sort of authority down. But to bring in Claudio Bravo, who is, fine, he's a good keeper, but he's not a goalkeeper suited to the Premier League.
No.
And fine, he might take a little bit longer to settle in. But he's not a Premier League goalkeeper in terms of style. Mm-hmm. And he gets put under pressure because inferior teams see him, see him flapping at balls 3 yards out from his own goal line, which he did against Burnley, by the way, and that's why they scored. When he's, I mean, it sounds obviously preposterous, but someone needs to take Bravo and grab him and say, "You're the only player in this area that can use your hands." So that's already an advantage. Yeah. So use that
and
to
you
your
can
advantage.
Use them to catch.
Use both of them. Yeah. If a corner's coming in and it's swinging away from goal and you want to help on its way, by all means, as a goalkeeper, punch it. If it's straight up in the air, 3 yards out from goal. Again, you're the only player that can use your hands. Jump up and catch it. All you're doing is timing a jump.
And Andy Carroll's not on the pitch.
Yeah. So he doesn't. And so if Guardiola's bringing in, you know, Neuer for Hart, which let's be honest, City have got the financial muscle to be able to do that if they could make it work. Guardiola's worked with Neuer before. Mm-hmm. It feasibly could happen. Then fine. But if you're bringing him in for someone who's arguably not even as good as Joe Hart. Mm-hmm. I don't rate Joe Hart particularly highly.
He's a good, solid Premier League.
You're giving people ammo. Giving people ammo to criticise you.
It is easy to say this in retrospect, though, isn't it? And again, you know, Bravo might just be taking a little while to settle in. I'm sure we'll see.
Well, I think Guardiola, the way he plays, Bravo was quite crucial to that. Bravo's distribution is good. But as you say, Luke, people seem to have found that out quite quickly and are closing him down, which makes him hit the ball long. And actually, you might as well stick with Hart.
And also, with Guardiola going off in his, his post-match interview about how, you know, apparently the rules are different here, every other league in the world, and you can't do that to the goalkeeper. Like, it's just, you know, Big Sam sitting at home looking at that going, right, I know I'm going to play this. It's an advert to your own flaw.
Yeah. You're right about the pressure being put on him and the fact that he's hitting it long a lot anyway. And also, fine, his distribution is good and it's better than Hart. I don't think Hart's distribution is particularly that bad. But you've got to be able to do the basic stuff properly as a goalkeeper. You have to. And I think we can get a little bit lost among that sort of stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, there has been some encouragement for Pep Guardiola from what you would agree is an obvious source. In the form of Boris Becker's Twitter feed. He said, come on, Pep Guardiola, you're under stress lately and things are not going your way, but we love you. Have a cold English beer and relax.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Just get
That's
involved.
Your advice. Have a beer.
All Boris Becker wants is to be part of the conversation. Yeah. That's all he wants.
And here he is. Well played, Boris.
Get in there.
He had a great distribution.
Yeah, he did.
If you can call it that.
He did.
He could dive around. Stick him in goal.
Did he win Wimbledon at 17 years old?
I think he did, yeah.
Has Claudio Bravo ever done that? Don't
no,
think so.
Exactly. No. I don't think Claudio Bravo's ever won any tennis tournament.
No.
None of the. Nowhere near a grand
slam. What's
he
even doing here?
Get lost.
That's remarkable. Don't tell the press that. They'll have the.
Can we take a moment to talk about Aguero's goal? Because that it was the tiniest amount of space he had to aim at, and he just. Well, there it was.
The two defenders stood still, didn't they?
They were stunned. One practically on the post, one just in case he hit it a bit wider than that. And the look on their faces was like, oh, come on. Come on.
We had that covered.
Yeah, and played for four games. How is he still so sharp?
I know. Fernandinho got sent off again.
Yeah.
Third red card in just six games.
It's great.
Astounding.
It's absolutely glorious.
See, Bakary Sagna as well, who was lucky to not be sent off himself, said after the game it felt like it was 10 against 12 out there. It's like, well, I mean, have you seen that?
It was great. Joey Barton, speaking of bands, has rejoined Burnley.
Although possibly.
Be facing a ban already for betting infringements. I love that. He's not even kicked a ball.
No.
Just give him a ban anyway. It's a
smart move from Burnley, though, isn't it? Because it might not pay off.
But then, you know,
let's assume he needs a ban, and we can always rescind it later.
Yeah. Much like when we signed him before.
Yeah.
Before we move on from the Premier League, I also need to make a note. I've made a note here to say that Craig Pawson did really well in the Liverpool City game.
Did he?
I slated him for ages.
You did?
But he actually, in the interest of fairness, I have to say, he had a good game.
And it's good news for Swansea. They've got a new manager.
And I called that as well, by the way. I called Paul Clement going to Swansea, but I said that it'll probably be fired very quickly. The only thing that's going to go against that is possibly that they've taken a lot of stick for firing Bob Bradley so quickly that they might actually stick with Paul Clement. And it's worth pointing out that when Paul Clement was fired from Derby, I think they were in fifth. They weren't doing too bad.
They weren't doing
so
too
I think
bad,
he gets a bit of a bad press. I think he might do an all right job there.
It's a strange post for him, this one, isn't it? Because it comes with a lot of pressure and it's under a much sharper spotlight. So I hope he can turn it around there. But Swansea just don't look good enough, do they?
And do you reckon that he was doing
I think
it's
beyond the manager.
He might be doing the old, look, you need to stick with me long term here. Yeah? I think we might go down this year, but we need to stick at it and see how we get on.
Could be. Well, I think Swansea fans will take a lot of heart from what you just said, Luke. He might do an all right job.
We've had a lot of emails.
He'll take that at the moment.
Yeah. We've had a lot of emails from worried Swansea fans just who don't want Pardew and are so worried about it. They're just emailing us.
Like Pete can do something about it.
We are very much, just to be perfectly clear to all those Swansea fans, in case it wasn't abundantly clear the last sort of 7 or 8 years of our output, we very much just snipe from the sidelines. We have no power.
Sooner or later he's going to get bored of sitting at home fingering Tinder and whatever he does.
Yeah. You know, he's,
he won't use it, thank Marcus. Goodness. I know, but just thank goodness you said Tinder.
He'll never get bored of that.
Before we move on to the Championship, Jim, you've got some emails.
I do have some emails. I'm just going to dive right into them, mate.
Damn right.
Like I'm Fernandinho. Hi, guys. Marcus's story about a teammate giving a fake name to a ref reminded me of an incident in a primary school game I played in 20 years ago. I played local representative football in Dublin with a boy unfortunately named Michael Jackson.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, our schools played each other one day, and just after half-time, he was called over by the ref for a booking. Annoyed, when asked for his name by the ref, he said Elvis Presley. The ref tried to calm the situation down and asked the teacher/manager to have a word with his player while waiting to give him the yellow. 30 seconds later, he asked the player for his proper name. This time, Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Straight red.
Yeah. Not having that, Jacko.
Come here.
Red.
That reminds me of what happened to me once. I was about 7 or 8 years old and I went to go and see a pantomime with my family at Christmas.
Got sent off.
And that, yeah, and they got, I got a red. Mike Dean turned up. No, he was playing Widow Twanky. No, I basically got, and they called a load of kids up onto the stage to sing a song or tell a joke or something. And when they called me up on stage, I had really blonde hair, spiky hair. And the guy who called us up on stage, whoever it was, I don't know, Buttons or Aladdin or whatever, yeah. I can't remember, said, oh, you look like one of the kids from Bros. You know, they were from Bros.
Luke and Matt Goss.
And they were called Luke and Matt, right? So then one of them said, and then he said, oh, what's your name? And I said, Luke. And everyone laughed. And I was like, no, it is actually Luke. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I ended up crying.
Hey, that was
and,
why
on stage. That was, oh, mate, that was your first laugh you had on stage.
And the last.
I was going to say, I think by going on the Football Ramble Tour, it was your last. But
you tend to get a bit tearful, don't you?
Yeah.
The event got the better of you.
As an insight into the Moore family, that still gets brought up at pretty much every family occasion. God. Yeah.
So that was from Aidan in Dublin, by the way.
Cheers,
I should give him credit for his story. So,
cheers, Michael.
Got another one. Get loads of emails these days. Yeah. So I'm just going to give you another one.
And we appreciate it. I'd like.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Judge them on their merits. It's all I've ever said. Quite, it's all I've ever said.
So, dear Ramblers, as a friend of one of Mike Phelan's three daughters, I can confirm he is actually a proper dad and should be nowhere near Pardew comparisons. He spent the entirety of his speech at his daughter's wedding ripping my cousin, the groom, for being shit at football. Fair to say he's quite a good judge. P.S. Luke, you promised to share at least some of those crisps I sent you.
Oh,
Mike
yeah.
Holmes, Seabrook Crisps, official crisp supplier of the Football Ramble. Well, you're not, actually, no, Mike. You're the official crisp supplier of Luke Moore so far.
And Luke's very happy about that.
One thing I will say about that is it's Mike, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a go at Mike for emailing because that email is of sufficient quality.
He's paid you off with crisps.
which is the easiest way of doing it. I think a couple of points. One is Mike Phelan, we said, is actually, we said he was a good dad.
Well,
I said
he's a sort of guy. It's more confirmation, though.
I said he'd pick you up from a house party.
No, but someone, I can't remember, maybe it was Jim or Pete, threw him in the mix. Maliciously.
Fair enough.
And you and I defended
him.
And
the second thing about the crisps thing, right, is that he sent me one box of salt and vinegar and one box of assorted flavours.
Mm. He sent us one box of salt.
Yeah, but they're really big boxes. So I don't...
That makes it worse.
My reputation as it is does not allow for me to be carrying a massive box of crisps under my arm throughout central London. So if you want them, boys, come and get them.
I don't feel that's our problem. But moving on.
I've got a lot of mouth ulcers, by the way.
Got another one. Hello, Ramblers. I woke this morning in a bit of a frenzy from a ramble-based dream that left me feeling both confused and betrayed.
Mm. Oh, God.
It's a shame, isn't it?
It's a dream,
Pete's
don't
not,
worry.
One thing I will say is Pete's not here to defend himself, so let's be a bit fair.
Nobody needs to defend anybody. It's a dream.
Okay.
Your Honour.
In said dream, I joined Luke, Marcus and Jim for a post-Christmas countryside moorland walk. Luke led us up a hill, and this is where things turned awry.
Well, we were rambling then.
We were rambling, and weirdly, Pete wasn't there. Probably stuck in Dallas, even in a dream. Luke led us up a hill, and this is where things turned awry. Marcus used his muggy little hands to dig up some of the soil and uncovered that the hill we stood on was littered with dynamite hiding beneath the surface.
Remember a dream?
Yep. Yeah. Startled, I slowly backed off down the hill alongside Jim, by which time one of the large pigs that inhabited this particular explosive hill appeared to have caught my scent and began making his way over to me. My careful canter quickly turned into a gallop as the pig began to charge for me. Jim! Jim! I shouted, to no avail. The man had deserted me, the coward. To make a bad situation worse, the pig chasing me had began echoing my cry of Jim in his creepy pig-like voice. By this time, I was at full sprint off into the moorland, and when I plucked up the courage to look behind me, there were at least 20 pigs gaining on me as fast as their piggy little legs could take them. Ooh. Finally, I crumbled. I realised I couldn't outrun these beasts, so they were always left to face my piggy peril alone.
Wow.
It was at that point that I awoke in a sweat. I can't help feeling that if it wasn't for the questionable decision by Time Team Speller to start digging up that seemingly normal hill and Jim Campbell's cowardly acts, that I wouldn't have awoken so flustered this very morn. Luke, I have no beef with you. Your intentions were pure. Good bloke.
I've probably been blown sky high, haven't I? Well, on the top of that hill.
Depends when he woke up, I suppose. Maybe you're still stuck there.
There's a couple of things to say here. Luke once said to me that that he'd like to play football against the 100 pigs.
Yeah.
Don't know what he means by that, although in another sense I do. And then secondly, I am possibly, and I'm going to assume this, and it's to my detriment or credit, whatever, that I'm assuming this, is that I think I'm the only person here that has been involved in the blowing up of dynamite.
Really?
Yeah.
What, in the real world?
In the real world, yeah.
Well, I don't know this for sure, but I'll put my mortgage on the fact that Pete's done it.
Yeah. Marcus, is this when you went to Vietnam and paid a man to let you throw a stick of dynamite at a cow?
None of that's true. And it wasn't in Vietnam.
Well, give us the dynamite. Don't just tease it. Just give it to
us. That email's from Andrew Lavers, by the way.
Thank you, Andrew.
Do you want me to interpret that, Andrew? I can interpret that for you.
Yeah.
You are almost certainly in love with your own mother.
Yeah. All dreams mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there back to your Dynamite chat.
It was...
And it is Dynamite chat.
It was... 2005. It was Bolivia.
Okay.
It was in South America.
Right.
And a mining town, or it's still a mining town called Potosi, I think it's called in Bolivia. There was a lot of silver mining there. And they do a tour of the mines. I was actually ill. I didn't get to go to see the mines, but my mate who I was with did, and two other Canadian chaps we were travelling with. And they sell two things, this mine: dynamite and extremely strong alcohol.
Right. Yeah. Good combo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What could go wrong? Yeah. One of those things is bad.
Yeah. No, both are very good.
Yeah, we a couple of chaps we acquired on the way got some dynamite and we let it off in a very safe environment, controlled. We got a local to do it.
It takes another side to you here, Mark, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know.
What did you blow up with it? Nothing. You just blew up nothing with it?
No, we blew up a massive big, like it was a big boulder thing. And it was...
What the hell?
Well, you asked me the question.
This is what you do when you go on your travels.
Can I just say,
you blow things up.
You know when someone scores, like in the lower league, scores like an amazing goal, and someone says, "Oh, I've Messi did that. We've raving about it for months."
Yeah.
If Pete said that,
yeah, it's true. You know,
wow.
explosive times.
And you presumably weren't even drinking the really strong alcohol. This was your undestructible.
This guy, that was only a dream. Yeah. It wasn't even real.
You've topped it. With one of your weird travel.
I'm just saying that I never lit the thing.
Do you know what I was
never bought. In a court of law, I would have just been an innocent bystander.
When you said it, do you want to know what I was thinking?
I'd maybe get done for a fray.
Do you want to know what I was hoping? I was hoping you, the old Crocodile Dundee, and let it off in a lake and get all the fish. That's what I was hoping.
No, I'm not going to kill. You know.
Oh, suddenly you're a moral now.
A boulder. A boulder's not going to.
You're the last bastion of moral integrity now.
In this room,
you're running around Bolivia in your pants. That might just be in my mind.
Yeah,
in your pants.
That's a dream.
With a stick of dynamite holding it above your head.
It's actually not a stick. It's slightly more complex than that.
Oh, sorry, mate. I'm not an expert.
Yeah. No, clearly not.
Someone is.
There we go.
Well, we had an expert with us. He couldn't believe his luck. Our Bolivian tour guide. We approached him. We said,
"Oh, no one ever wants to do this."
By the way, Juan. His name was Juan. We said, "Oh, we got." We thought, how are we going to... Because we can't just go, oh, by the way, we're going to nip off and if you hear a big explosion, don't worry about it. And we said, we got some dynamite. What do you reckon? And he couldn't believe his luck. His eyes lit up. Oh, I haven't blown up anything for years, he said. He was
right.
Yeah. Come here, you amateurs.
Right.
Well, back to some explosive action, if you will, in the Championship. Fulham were beaten by Brighton 2-1. Mm. I was at the game. I'm going to say this right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's a new year. Here's a little thing. Fulham, that's probably the closest thing to a team I support.
Is it?
Yeah.
And did you enjoy the game?
In England.
There you go. You can't do that.
It's terrible effort, like deflecting stuff every so often. It's just,
it's
transparent is what it is.
Uh-huh. Hearts of Fulham.
What was the game like?
It was a good game. It was a very good game. David Stockdale was back.
At his old stamping ground.
Saved a pen.
Yeah.
Got 3 points, so he had the last laugh.
It was a big, big win for Brighton, wasn't it? They're now 2 points ahead of Newcastle with a game in hand, which is massive.
Fulham have missed 5 out of 6 penalties this season.
Mm. That's silly.
That, you say they're ahead of Newcastle. Newcastle were... it was a bit of a robbery, wasn't it, against Blackburn?
It was a massive robbery, yeah. Charlie Mulgrew, the scourge of Newcastle again.
At half-time, Newcastle had 14 shots against Blackburn. Blackburn had none. They had none.
It's hilarious.
It's amazing.
Centre-back on a free kick did for them. Ridiculous.
Oh, for Fulham, Lucas Piazon, I think that's pronounced, scored for Fulham. Lovely goal. He's on loan.
Ex-Chelsea, isn't he?
He's on loan from Chelsea.
Oh, is he still at Chelsea? Of course he is. Every single player is at Chelsea.
I love the fact that, obviously, Chelsea loan a lot of players out, as you said, and Vitus Arnhem is another one. Mm. But a lot of them go to Fulham. They've always got Chelsea players on loan there. It's never the other way, though.
That is how to truly have one over on your local rivals, isn't it?
Yeah.
You will give you players.
Was about
you're
to
so
say,
relevant to us.
That's it. Like, had any other sort of local rivals ever do the same? Like, there's just the Chelsea Fulham rivalry is so delightful. You say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Fulham fan," and Chelsea go fans go, "No, that's nice."
Bless you.
Chelsea don't have 36 players out on loan. 36.
I think they've actually... Did they sell Van Ginkel yesterday? I think he might finally be off their books.
Because
Marco Marin only left in August last year.
Wow.
Is Stankovic still on there?
Yeah.
Hernan Crespo?
Yeah.
Is he getting on?
Yeah. Winston Bojardo.
the wonderfully named Naiskins Cabano came off the bench for Fulham. Named after Johan Naiskins.
I love that.
His father was a big fan of the Dutchman. So, yeah.
How good is that when you name a boy after a great football player, and he becomes a football player.
Oh, it's lovely, that. Yeah. Absolutely lovely, that.
Nominative determinism, surely.
It is, yeah. Not pressure.
I was a little bit disappointed with Anthony Knockout and Glenn Murray. Kept largely quiet.
Oh, well, they were Knockout's a fantastic player, I think.
It is, yeah, but then when you come up against Tim Ream, the American Dream.
Yeah, true.
You know, a win, though, didn't they, mate?
Not easy, they did get a win. They certainly did. Have we got time to go to League Two? I think we do. I
believe we do.
Barnet are fighting for a playoff spot. They beat second place Plymouth 1-0. On the weekend. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. Barnet are without a manager since Martin Allen left. In the stands on the weekend, next to the chairman, was Sol Campbell.
Big Sol.
Big Sol, the manager. I spot a golden age for us.
Well, Sol hinted that he'd be interested in management a couple of months ago.
He would last, at Barnet, he would last...
A half?
2 months.
Yeah.
Maximum. And speaking of...
Do you know the hell I am? You sound like the dinner ladies and the referees.
Picking himself. All sorts will be going on. But speaking of questionable managerial appointments in League Two, you see who the new player manager in Notts County is?
Oh, yeah.
Alan Smith.
Smith, former Manchester United, Leeds United, and Newcastle. He loved all the Uniteds.
Famously didn't score a single goal in 5 seasons of being a Newcastle player.
Got sent off for England as well.
Yeah, despite having a history as a forward.
Mm. Did he not score for Newcastle?
No, never scored.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure of that,
At some point, he became like a defensive midfielder, didn't he, from being a striker. Alex, a fairly decent striker.
It was
at
Alex
Leeds.
Ferguson, wasn't it, who
well, he wasn't a huge goal scorer at Leeds, but
he
chipped in, certainly.
I mean, he was called up for England as a striker, and not unreasonably as well.
Yeah, I think
it's just a bizarre change of position, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, he's a bit unlucky at Manchester United, because I think at the time it was Rooney and Ronaldo and all
And he got a big injury as well, didn't he?
Which I think
probably is why this happened.
Yeah, Newcastle, he was a part of their promotion back to the Premier League before they went down again.
Anyway, at the risk of... Well, I can say this because I also support a team that are in League Two. Mm-hmm. He's slumming it now at Notts County.
But he's 36.
Yeah, quite.
You know, Notts County recognises the world's oldest association football team playing at professional level. Have a bit of respect. Aren't Notts County the Magpies as well?
They are, yeah, they are.
They're right.
Nice little link. Nice little link.
Did he even notice?
Avian link.
No. You know, from black and white of Newcastle.
They're one point away from being currently being relegated out of the Football League. So they may not be the world's oldest league club for much longer unless Alan Smith turns it around.
Would you think it was a bit harsh on John Sheridan to be sacked? After losing 9 games in a row.
Yeah, but the thing is, Notts County go through so many managers. I mean, you know what happened? Remember back in the day with that Sven stuff and...
Yeah, yeah.
Where they
had Kasper Schmeichel,
that money
there,
didn't really
sort
of exist. And,
well, Sol Campbell as well.
Yeah, Sol. That was... because they had a sugar daddy come in and he thought, let's do it.
Or did they?
Well, I don't know.
It just didn't seem to actually happen, did it?
Just, Sol sort of rode up. It was almost like they were the Chinese Super League for a week or two. And Sol Campbell... turned up and he was like, yeah, I want to be part of this project. And I thought, this is rubbish.
Do you remember, wasn't that around the same time that QPR were supposedly like the richest club on earth? And we were looking at a future dominated by Notts County and QPR. But I'd love to see that timeline.
Since March 2015, Notts County have had 7 managers. They go through them. They absolutely go through them. Since July 2010, they've had 15 managers.
That's crazy.
They've had 15 managers in 7 years. I mean, it's not hugely surprising. I mean, John Sheridan, to be fair, he was there for a while in comparison to the others.
Notts County, that one of my favourite facts about them is they went to play at, I think it was when Juventus had their new stadium.
Yeah,
because they got the colours.
They lent them the kit.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Got a 1-1 draw.
Did they?
Yeah,
brilliant.
I wonder if Juventus...
Was it Lee Hughes played for them up front?
Were Juventus applying themselves? are you choosing to believe that they were?
First game of the stadium, mate. Yeah. You've got to put it all in.
It's true.
Notts County with it. Yeah. Come on, with an 88th minute equaliser. Going absolutely crazy in the corner.
Loving it.
Gah, yeah, that's it.
That's what football's all about.
It is. Oh, dear. Right, should we have some highlights of the week, Luke?
Yeah, I've got a few here. First one up from Dave McDonald. Hello to you, Dave. He said, my highlight of the festive period was the glorious stat that if Carlos Tevez set fire to a £10 note, he would make the money back before it finished burning.
It's just as well Pete's not here.
Someone replied to that. Genuinely, someone replied. James Edrupt has replied and they're saying, I dare Pete to do it on tonight's pod. Sadly, Pete's not here. But I would like to think that he's burning £10 notes somewhere.
Yeah.
Or $10 notes.
On that Carlos Tevez, my highlight was George Mendes, Ronaldo's agent, doing some unnecessary PR for him. Because obviously Tevez is now the highest paid player in the world. Oscar's just got there for big money. Ronaldo, never to be outdone. Yeah. George Mendes is basically like, well, Ronaldo's had offers from China.
Yeah.
Like, much bit like 100 million a season and stuff. Yeah. And he's brilliant and he won the thing with Portugal. So, you know. Yeah. So, okay, don't worry.
Didn't he say, Ronaldo, for absolutely no reason, he said, Ronaldo won the European Championship with Portugal. Mm. It's like winning the Italian League with Genoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's that coverage? General, like, what are you getting us involved for? We haven't said anything. Yeah, we said nothing.
Yeah, Cristiano is the best player in the world and best ever.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Just, don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. There's a big project going on, and your man's not been asked yet.
Yeah, but that's okay. Exactly what he says to Cristiano Ronaldo in the form of a text message every morning. Yeah. To keep him perked up. Jaco van der Vault, he says, Jack Wilshere coming another 90 minutes closer to exposing Arsenal's injury treatment system for the butcher's shop it so obviously is.
Wilshere maybe looks, that's it. Maybe Arsene Wenger's like a secret maniac.
Yeah, Wilshere looks so reliable. Like, he looks so robust.
Looks solid, although, doesn't he?
One of the most robust players in the Premier League now.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
And I've got one here from Reese Laverty. Hello to you, Reese. I got married on the 17th of December, so congratulations to you. Mm. He says, to move on to my highlight, I introduced a wife to her first ramble experience on a London to Bath road trip for a New Year's visit to the in-laws. Her knowledge of football fossilised sometime around the Arsenal Invincible era when she was a kid, so an abundance of Gunnosaurus chat in that episode gave her something to hang on to. Also, probably best to ease her in with an episode that was missing Pete.
Yeah.
Great, yeah. Pete, bring Pete in later on. Yeah. You can listen to this one safely as well. Next one, just ease her in gently. Mm. Maybe 10-minute chunks.
Any more?
No more.
Did you see the strange thing that happened in Rwanda in the league there?
No.
Very, very weird. A player put something into the opposition net.
Oh, I did see this.
And then about 5 minutes later, he scored. And then the other team went absolutely mad. And the Rwandan FA reacted by officially banning witchcraft.
Yeah.
Crazy. Very, did you know what he put odd. In the net?
I'm not entirely sure.
A broomstick.
It reminds me of...
Was he the sweeper?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. You happy with that?
I am, yeah.
Can I tell you an anecdote which is about to include Neville Southall?
Yes. Yep.
Can I link that somehow?
Quickly.
There was a book out called In Search of Perfection by Neville Southall, and it was like half goalkeeper training book and half sort of autobiography. Mm. I might have talked about it before many years ago, but one of his tips on being a great keeper was don't put your water bottle or your towel or your cap, going back now, caps, you don't see goalkeepers wearing caps now, into the goal because it gives a good striker something to aim at.
Ah.
Always move it outside the box. So maybe he was just putting something to aim at. So he could hit the corner.
It was witchcraft.
Yeah. It could have been.
And it worked.
Could have been. Well, I'll tell you what, these teams needed witchcraft to get through those Premier League fixtures this week.
Has witchcraft been banned from the Premier League, I want to know?
I wonder if they've gotten around to that.
It's only a matter of time.
Well, there we are. Something for Scudamore to look into.
He will get to that at some point.
He's got to justify his position, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's right.
What are you doing this week, Richard? Mostly witchcraft stuff, to be honest.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the load I've got on.
Any more for any more?
No more from me.
We're done. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. It's been a pleasure having you here. We are back, of course, with the preview show at the end of the week. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.